Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly. Welcome back for another episode. Episode number 39.
Back again. We just keep coming back.
That's right.
Whether you guys want to hear us or not, we're here.
Those of you that are listening, we do appreciate it.
We do. Our numbers are kind of slowly growing. We hit a lull over the whole holidays a little bit, but I think that's pretty common for podcasts.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the holidays were over, it jump back up again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's kind of what we discussed, was that we assumed that it was because of that.
Yep.
Not because of my radio looks.
Okay. We're glad to be back. We had an interesting case last week, about said month, but it feels like a month after the new year and work and kids, and it's been a weird last couple of weeks. And then we're in Texas, like we've mentioned. The hot and the cold. It's 80 degrees one day and then 30 degrees the next.
Yep.
I'm over it.
Like, yep.
I think I can handle the cold better if it is cold and stays cold for a little while. But this hot and cold is, it chills me to my bones.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I'd much rather it be one or the other.
Yeah, I'd much rather it be warm.
Yeah, me too.
And no cold.
I mean, I don't mind the cool weather, but I don't like the cold, wet weather.
The bitterness.
Yeah.
Chilling you through your bones.
Like, that's the kind of weather we get here.
Yeah.
It's more of a cold and wet. And back when I worked in the oil field, I used to have to be out in that, and it was some of the worst weather you could possibly be in.
I don't do well in the cold. Don't expect me to work in the cold. I had to work yesterday. And we had a Christmas tree day pickup, and last year I helped with it. None of the guys could. They all had plans. They couldn't make it, so it was just me and my manager, and I was helping load up, and it was so bitterly cold last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it's been 80, 70, well, I don't know if it's been 80 degrees, but at least 70.
It got up to 80 the other day.
Yeah, all week long. And then Saturday, Christmas tree pickup day, wind was blowing. Cold, and one of the guys could help the manager this week, and he came into my office and goes, "I see how you are sitting here in the warm." I said, "Yeah, I did it once last year," and said, "Never again." One, those boxes are heavy. Two, it's cold, and the way our facility is set up, I mean, that wind, it's almost like a tunnel for that wind right between the buildings, and that wind was just cutting through. It was so cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over it. They're out there today working, too. I have to go in for a little bit, but not long. I just got to do a few things. Work, work, work. That's all we've been doing. Tori's on vacation. She made her trip to New York City. So she's up there living her best life. She leaves here, and it's 70 degrees, and we're like, it's going to be cold up there. It's going to be cold up there. And as soon as they get up there, it's literally just a few degrees cooler up there than what it is here. She called me. I guess it was the first night or maybe the first day that they got there. And she showed me a picture of their view outside of their hotel room.
Yeah, view.
View. It's, I'll see if she had a picture of it. I've got a few blurry pictures from FaceTime. And if she don't, I'll post it. It's literally like an alley full of trash and some AC units.
The rooftop next to her.
Yeah, it looks awful, but they're having fun. They're living their best life. I sent them some little tourist attractions to go see,
yeah.
Like the ghost hunter or Ghostbusters Firehouse. I was like, y'all need to go see that.
Yeah, that'd be
pretty
cool.
And a couple of other little spooky true crime themes, because the girls that she went with is my niece, not technically my niece, but our niece and their best friend, Elizabeth. So they're all 19 and living in New York for our weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They keep hitting up the pizza place. They found this pizza place like right around the corner from their hotel. They said it's probably the best pizza they've ever had.
Oh, yeah. That's, from my understanding, that's where some of the best pizza's at.
Yeah. I've
never been, obviously, but.
I told her she needs to go to one of those hot dog carts that you always see on the movies.
I've heard those are excellent also.
I was like, y'all need to do that at least once before you come home. So they're figuring out. We, all of us were scared. Me, my mom, Tamara.
Even me.
Yeah, everybody's scared. Like, be safe. Watch your stuff. You know, they're young, pretty girls. And that's a long way away from home. So if anything were to happen, it's not like we can just rush over and be there. So we've all been a ball of nerves, but I know they're having a lot of fun. So we'll have her back. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to mention. So earlier this week, I told Josh that when Tori comes back, it's time to do a true crime story. And I really wanted to do a true crime story in New York, just to mess with her a little bit. And after I finished researching this episode the next night, I was like, well, I'm going to try to get ahead because I'm starting to get busy at work. I need to work on some research. And so I started just scrolling through Hulu looking for I was kind of looking for like a one-off show, not like a whole series that has 8 episodes. I just wanted like 1 or 2 episodes so I could do a quick episode. And I found this one and didn't read anything about it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. I picked it, and it was in New Jersey and New York that it happened. So I was like, perfect. So I'm working on that one. It'll be good.
Yeah.
So what else do we have? We have the giveaway. So we did a giveaway. We have officially, we're over 1,000 followers now on Facebook. So thank you guys
so much.
Continue to share, comment, rate everything. Follow us on your streaming service that you use. It does nothing but boost us in the algorithm and helps us get our name out to more people. And so as a thank you, we did a giveaway on Facebook. Once we reached 1,000 followers, anybody that entered would be entered into a drawing to win a little gift basket that I put together. And Avery is the one that won. She actually happens to be local, so I've ordered her shirt. So as soon as it gets here, I'll get it made. And she said drop by while she's at work and share a drink and give her her gift basket. So I'm excited. I'm glad she won. She's a sweet girl. So shout out to Avery. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for everything.
Yep. Other than that, we were going to touch very lightly on something that's happening in our hometown. There is a cold case that we have been following very closely for 8 years now. There was a gentleman and his daughter that were murdered. The gentleman was actually friends with my mom. They worked together and they were friends. He even helped mom and dad paint their house when they moved just outside of Brownsboro. And somebody came in and murdered both of them. And it's been cold. There's been no movement in 8 years. And everybody's just kind of been watching because that doesn't happen. And we literally just had another murder a few months ago. But it really doesn't happen in our town. It's not a common occurrence. And so everybody's really been wanting to see answers. And this weekend, they made an announcement. There is movement on the case. An arrest has been made. We are going to wait to release any other information out of respect for all parties involved, because with it being a small town, everybody knows all parties. So we're just going to kind of wait, see what happens, see what comes of it, and we may cover it later on. It is strange that I reached out to the victim's mother, asking if she'd be interested in coming on the podcast or letting me interview her to raise awareness for it. Literally, like I did that Wednesday or Thursday. And I talked to her for a little bit. She was very nice. But she just told me, she said, it's too hard right now. I don't want to do it. Completely understandable. And I just kind of told her, you know, if you ever do reach out, I'd be more than happy to talk to you, try to get some more ears. You never know. And then we wake up this morning and they made an arrest on that case. It's wild.
Yep.
So it's never easy on either side of it, as far as families go. I mean, the victim side of it, obviously their families are mourning the death of their loved ones. And in even the suspect's families, your heart really breaks for them because, I mean, you never think that someone you love could do that. And they're grieving somebody too. I mean, they're going to end up losing them one way or another, whether it be physically or, you know, again, we live in Texas. Death penalty is always
an option.
An option. So they may lose their loved one as well. And it your heart really goes out to the families of the suspects too.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine being in that position.
I couldn't imagine being in either position.
No. And especially in this case, it's just really wild. So. Mm-hmm.
And it makes it even worse because it's so close to home and almost personal in a sense.
Yeah. You interact with these people. You know these people. You share dinners with these people. And yeah. You never think it can happen that close to home. And then when it does, and especially having two things like that happen in the last year, it's kind of hard to process. It's hard to even put into words. You just never know.
Yeah.
Hug your families. Watch your neighbors.
Tell people you love them.
Tell them you love them, because you never know. So, with that being said, did you have anything else? Oh, your birthday was this week.
My birthday was this week.
He turned 41.
27.
Don't look a day. We're 50. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So, how was your birthday?
It was pretty good. Other than the kids being crabby during dinner that night.
They were crabby that night. I don't know what their deal was. I picked them up and they were crabby. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think it was just going back to school after being out for 2.5 weeks. And it just all felt cranky.
But I did get some good stuff. You know, I got a new rifle. And then you got me some tickets for me and a date to go and go to the Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy.
Who's going to be your date?
I don't know yet.
One of your boyfriends?
Depends on how you act, maybe.
You going to take Randall?
Nah.
Chase?
Nah.
Kyle? Yeah, it looks really cool. It's an event here in Tyler. It's called the Edgar... What was it? You said it.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Speakeasy.
Speakeasy.
They have actors and they perform Edgar Allan Poe's poems and kind of like a dramatic reenactment of them, I guess. But not only do they do that, but they also curate a special cocktail that goes with each one that they're doing that they give you. I think it's 4 total. So I got a new outfit. I'm going to get all dressed up and I'm excited. We've done something kind of not similar, but kind of along the same lines. We did the Paranormal Circus a couple of years ago, and that was really cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was really cool. So if they're ever in your area, we'll see about Edgar Allan Poe, but if the Paranormal Circus comes to your area, highly recommend.
It's actually in Longview.
It's in Longview right now, but they go all over.
Yeah, there's only 4 total Texas stops. Mm-hmm. I was looking at their deal the other day, and not many of them are local.
Yeah. Probably because they're hitting different spots every
different
year.
Different areas of Texas. But they do try to make it to around the Tyler area.
Yeah.
They were in Tyler the last time, but there was a lot of problems.
Yeah. People were going nuts on Facebook, like on the Tyler pages and stuff, going, they're letting these devil worshipers in. Yeah. And oh my gosh, it was so bad. But literally all it was is almost like a dark circus olé. I mean, it was so cool. So
it was definitely interesting to watch. It kind of had like a haunted house vibe to it.
Yeah.
They actually had a kind of a light haunted house.
Yeah.
Right at the very beginning to get into the arena.
Yep.
But then once they started doing their stuff, it was very, very cool, a lot of the things they were doing.
The body control those performers have blows my mind. It is insane. It's so fun to watch. I love to watch those.
Yeah,
so.
It was a good time.
Yep.
Definitely not something that I would take little kids to.
Yeah, we had even considered taking our kids, because our kids like dark and spooky stuff, but we're like, especially the youngest. The older two, we were like, it doesn't really matter, but the youngest, we were like, we better see what this
is. Well, and it actually had an age limit as well.
Yeah, I think it was 13.
13 or 14, yeah. I can't remember.
And so we're like, we'll try it first before we decide if we'll take the kids. And there were some kids there.
Yeah, and there were, but it is a little bit risque.
Yeah, it is a little risque, you know. Again, we're pretty body positive. Even our girls, within reason, are allowed to wear what they want. So that's one thing to keep in mind is they are performers. They're wearing costumes that are revealing, but it was really cool.
Yeah, but not like distasteful.
No, revealing. Not at all. No, I thought they were beautiful. So just something to keep in mind. Every parent has their own
set of rules.
There you go. Set of rules and what they allow and don't allow their kids to see or experience. But
everybody's a little bit different. There's no one book to teach you how to raise a single kid.
Nope. I will say we're doing a pretty good job. Our kids are pretty solid human beings so far.
You know, and I was watching this thing the other day, and this guy was talking about how not one of your kids has the same parents.
Yeah, he sent that to me. I was going to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
It was actually really cool, and it made me think, you know, I do treat each one of the kids differently because of the way they react, because of their personalities.
Where we were when we were having, I mean, I was a teen mom when I had Addie, or we had Addie, I guess you were there. You helped.
I was there.
I was a teen mom, and so when we had her, we were struggling. I mean, as young parents, it's hard, and she grew up completely differently compared to even May, who we had 3.5 years later, and then we had Jackson. And, I mean, each stage of life, we were at a different stage of life, you know, financially, emotionally, maturity-wise. So, I mean, I thought that was really a really neat clip to watch and that was his whole premise, is each kid, even though they're brought up in the same household with the same physical parents, they're not brought up the same. They have different experiences, and I never thought
that was a very cool view, because I'd never looked at it from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yep. Very neat. Very neat. Go check it out if I can find the link. I think you sent it to me. I may try to post it in the notes. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure I sent it to you and the girls.
Yeah. So check it out, and I'll post that. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else.
I can't think of anything either.
Are you ready for today's story?
Let's get moving.
I'm excited about it.
Hey, ghostly gang. The case is cold, and the vibes are haunted.
We've got murder notes, EMF spikes, and no business being awake this late.
But thanks to W Energy Drink, we have clean energy with no crash, so we can hyperfixate on timelines, suspects, and whether or not the attic is haunted or a squirrel is hiding his nuts.
The flavors are criminally good. Like, we destroyed the evidence good. Not a drop could be found.
It's zero sugar, no artificial colors, and delivers terrifying levels of focus and mental clarity. Perfect for connecting red string and angering spirits.
Hit dubby.gg.com.
Use promo code GGP for 10% off.
Dubby, fueling guilty in the ghostly while the killer's still out there.
And the house is still haunted.
I had asked you a couple months ago if you heard of them, and you were like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this case. Case.
It is, I mean, it's a case. A story.
Yeah, this.
Cryptid?
Cryptid, I guess.
We're doing a cryptid, guys.
It's been a while.
I love them. I think they are so cute, and I wish they had more lore. I will be honest, there's not a lot. But there's some cool video evidence that I'll get to share with you and the viewers. So that
yeah, I remember seeing it already.
One of them. Yeah, there's more.
Oh, there's more?
There's more, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool. And just the whole premise of, as a world and as human beings, we don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
We have not discovered every single inch of this earth and what could be hiding in the shadows, I think is why I like cryptids, is just the thought that there could be something else that we have no idea.
Well, and that happens often. That even today, we discover new species that we never knew existed.
Right.
And there's so much landmass and so much vast ocean that still has been yet to be fully explored.
Yeah.
So there's always that possibility that there's something hiding out there.
And that just gets me. Just gets me.
Yeah. Never know what could be there.
You never know. So with that being said, today we are covering the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Yeah. You say that and all I can think of is worms.
Kind of. They're kind of wormy looking. In the early 2000s, a homeowner in Fresno, California, reviewed their security footage and noticed something a little off. What appeared on the screen wasn't a person, it wasn't an animal, and not anything anyone could easily identify. Two pale figures slowly walked across the lawn. No arms, no torso, just legs. Long, white, human-like legs moving with an unnatural, almost floating gait. Later become known as the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
You know, the way you described that kind of reminds me of, like, I can't remember what movie it is, but there's a movie where there's, like, this creature that is just like a head in the middle of these two pairs of legs. But I think that's also, isn't that another creature on, like, what's that imaginary friend show that we watched?
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Wasn't there one of those on there too? The big guy that had the big legs?
Yes. He was a basketball player and he was orange and he had like the big fluffy head, I think. Oh, that was my favorite show. I watched it all the time. I loved it.
That's kind of what the description reminded me of, was something like that.
All I can picture is our daughter playing softball when she gets down and ready and her long legs poking out.
Yeah. You call them her spider legs.
Spider legs. She engages her spider legs. The footage was strange enough on its own, but things escalated when a second video surfaced, this time from Yosemite National Park. Shut up.
We're going to keep that.
No. Once again, the same odd leg-only beings were seen moving silently through the night. No sound, no sudden movements, just walking. Skeptics argue the videos are hoaxes, fabric, stilts, puppetry, maybe even CGI. But here's the thing. No one has ever definitively proven how the videos were made. And the movement, it's odd, consistent, smooth, and difficult to recreate convincingly.
Yeah. And I would definitely say the same. It's hard to really judge what it is.
It's so naturally unnatural, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, it moves so
effortlessly?
Effortlessly.
I'm going to take over.
Okay, thank you. But really it is. I mean, they just move so smoothly, but it's awkward at the same time.
Yeah, it's a weird dance almost.
Yeah, it's really weird. Believers suggest something far stranger. Are they interdimensional beings, unknown life forms, or even nature spirits? Entities that don't want attention and don't seem to be aggressive. In fact, the Nightcrawlers never chase, threaten, or interact with anyone. They simply pass through as if they were not meant to be noticed at all.
Almost like a tumbleweed.
Yeah. And to me, that's what makes it so disturbing is, from what I understand, there's not a whole lot of accounts of people just seeing them with their naked eye, like approaching them in person. Like with Bigfoot, you know, you have all these supposed videos and pictures and people come across them in the woods, but these, there's really not a whole lot of accounts of people coming across them in person. They're just caught on video.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go any further with the Fresno Nightcrawlers, it helps to understand the place they come from, because Fresno has more going on beneath the surface than most people realize. And this is that thing I was telling you about. Fresno sits in California's Central Valley, surrounded by farmland, open space, and long stretches of quiet darkness at night. Just outside the city is Yosemite National Park, a vast, isolated wilderness and dense forests. If something strange wanted to pass through unnoticed, this is a landscape that would make it easy. And that goes back to us saying, I mean, there's just so much out there. How can you?
Yeah, I mean, how do you know? But on that same token, I mean, it could always be somebody playing a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always that in the back of my mind when I'm researching stuff like this, because there are so many people that just do things like that for attention.
Yeah. And even though they don't outright come out and say, I did this, they're still getting attention because they see all these people talking about it and posting about it and the stories and everything else. They're like, I did that. I did that.
And I spent some time in California for a little while. And while I do love some of my California people, there are just as equal or many more that are nuts.
Yeah. Which you can say that about anywhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
Well, hidden beneath the city are the forest. How would you say that word? I meant to look it up before we started. Forestier?
I don't know. That's your department there in the forest.
I meant to Google it. Forestier Underground Gardens, I believe, is what it's called.
Forestier?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I could be saying it completely wrong. I think it's from the guy that made it was actually from Italy.
Whatever.
Let us know nicely.
Yeah. We'll flash a picture of the word up there for you.
Yeah. Okay. It's a network of underground rooms, passageways, and open-air courtyards, all hand-dug by one man, Baldassare Forestier. Why he built the underground area was because Fresno summers regularly hit over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Forestier was from Italy and quickly realized that the Central Valley climate was brutal. Digging underground allowed the space to stay naturally cool year-round.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that the earth actually keeps some of the best temperature because it's so well insulated, and it never really fluctuates more than just a few degrees.
Yeah.
So that's why I think back before we knew how to build houses, most people stayed in caves because the temperature would regulate itself all year.
Yeah.
So you didn't really have to worry too much about it. Plus, you got out of the water and the wind and stuff. But the biggest thing is it holds temperature very well.
Yeah. Well, Forestier was an immigrant with limited money, and digging by hand with simple tools was something that he could do. So he built his living space slowly over time. Instead of dark tunnels, Forestier created open-air courtyards that let in the natural light, fresh air, and rain, making the underground spaces livable and even comfortable. The courtyards are designed to support fruit trees, grapevines, and plants. The underground climate protected them from frost in the winter and intense heat in the summer. Forestier studied Roman catacombs and ancient underground cities. He wanted to prove that humans could live comfortably underground using natural engineering. What started as survival slowly became his obsession, his art, and his legacy. He spent over 40 years digging, often at night after working long days.
Sounds suspicious.
That sounds suspicious. But I've got some pictures and I will post them. I mean, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning.
That is really cool. I remember you showing me some of these already. Yep.
I mean, I can't imagine just a guy with a shovel doing this.
You know, I was watching, there's these guys on YouTube, and I don't know where they're from, some Asian country.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out into the woods and they dig holes like that.
Oh, yeah. You and Jackson watch that sometimes.
Yeah. And they'll like build pools and hot tubs and all kinds of stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. There's another one.
Now, I've heard, and I don't know that this is true, but during the cut scenes in there, I've heard that there's like big equipment that's digging that stuff out for them.
Yeah.
Just like straightening up the walls and stuff.
And they could have started out doing it by hand, and then once they started making money online,
that's
like,
very possible.
Let's go rent out this backhoe. Because they have to keep up, too, with their videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sometimes, like, the survival shows, too, sometimes. I mean, they may have started out as a survivalist, but then after they start making money, they're like, I'm old, and I'm getting paid way too much. I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm. I think... You know, the idea probably was to do it that way, and then over time they were just like, you know, we don't have to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We can just show them how.
Yeah.
And make it as entertaining as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Which ultimately is probably their end goal.
Yeah. Well, on November 5th, 2007, a man by the name of Jose had set up security cameras around his property. There were reports in the neighborhood that bicycles were being stolen, and so he wanted to try to catch this burglar that was stealing everybody's bikes. Well, one night when Jose went to bed, his dogs were barking continuously all night. They just kept barking, and that wasn't normal. So he's like, I'm going to go look at my video camera and see if it picked something up. So he went and looked at his video, and just before midnight, this is what Jose would see.
And see, like we talked about, it's hard to say exactly what that is. Because to me, it almost looks like somebody covered in a sheet.
Yeah. And like it's kind of wrapped around their legs.
But
maybe,
at the same time, it doesn't. Because if you really look at it, it almost looks like two individual pieces.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say because of that footage is so grainy.
We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more information on that.
Okay.
So in the video, for those that are listening and not watching on YouTube, or if I can't get the video up in time, it looks like a pair of like disproportionately long, thin legs.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like they're in loose white trousers.
Mm-hmm.
Walking. And they almost have like this waddle to them as they're walking.
It is definitely a strange gait.
So it starts at the top of the screen, and it slowly makes its way down to the bottom to where it gets out of the camera view. There's no sign of arms or torso. It looks like it may have a rounded head that is basically on what you would consider the waist of the trousers, but no neck. There's no neck. It's like one continuous attachment.
Yeah, and it's almost like if you took one of those pool noodles and folded it over on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And made two legs with it.
Exactly. They are tiny. They estimate to be only about 3 feet tall. And then there's one figure that is seen walking across, and then there's a smaller figure. So that second time around is actually a second figure going across. After seeing the footage, Jose showed his family what he's seen. He's like, do you see this too? And the system that he was using, because again, this is back, what I say, in 2007. So not everybody has like Ring doorbells. He actually had to have a whole system in his house to record this.
Mm-hmm.
And the system that he was using would, if he rewound it, I think over like two or three times, it would like overwrite it and wipe it clean. So the reason why it's so grainy is he actually took another video camera and recorded a TV screen playing it. And so that's why it's kind of so grainy. This ended up, you know, lowering the quality of the footage. Jose would then show the recorded footage to a local Fresno affiliate of Univision, a Spanish language TV network. And they brought the story to the attention of a radio presenter and paranormal investigator, Victor Camacho. He was the host of, I don't speak Spanish. You speak Spanish. There you go. What's that word? Los Desvelados? Yeah. Good job. Which also means the sleepless ones. He would then present the video to an audience at the symposium of an organization called the Mutual UFO Network in 2008. News of the so-called Fresno alien began to spread. And then in 2010, it was featured in a series called Fact or Faked Paranormal Files. We used to watch that quite a bit on Sci-Fi. It's a series that follows a team of investigators led by former FBI agent Ben Hansen. Each episode starts with the team reviewing photos or viral videos of alleged paranormal events. They cover things like ghosts, UFOs, strange creatures, and unexplained lights. They try to decide whether each piece of evidence is real or fake. If they feel the clip is intriguing, they will actually try to recreate it in real life to see if there's any explanation for it. Just kind of see if they can debunk it. The investigators came from a mix of backgrounds to give different perspectives while they're covering this. So you had Ben Hansen, who was the team leader and former FBI agent. You have Jill Day Pardo, who was a journalist. Bill Murphy, a scientist. Austin Porter, a stunt expert. You've got Chilan Liu and Lanisha Cole, who were photography experts, and Devin Marble, who was a tech specialist. So they really have a wide range of experts to view these videos and try to come up with ideas on how to debunk it. The investigators tried to recreate the original footage to determine its authenticity. Despite their efforts, they were not able to debunk the video. Leaving the existence of the Fresno Nightcrawlers an open question. I highly recommend that show. We used to watch it all the time. It's a good one.
Yep.
This was the only sighting of the Fresno Nightcrawlers until March 28th, 2011. At 2 a.m. in Yosemite National Park, very similar looking to the original video. There are two figures walking across. One is like a lot taller in this one. So in the other one, it was hard to tell of the different heights. This one, that you see them together in the same frame, and there's one much taller than the other. Same weird waddle and awkward gait. Park rangers had actually installed security cameras to keep an eye out for vandalism. They really weren't expecting, they weren't doing it to capture like paranormal or anything. It was literally to for security purposes. They were looking for human troublemakers, and that it makes this footage, to me, more interesting. It's not staged. It wasn't put up for any certain reason as far as catching a cryptid, but it had a purpose. It just happened to catch something strange on its own. The Yosemite footage provided clear images, allowing for a more detailed analysis of the creature's appearance and their movement. One of the most fascinating parts of the Yosemite sightings was that there was actually two night crawlers, one larger, one smaller. The big one seemed to lead, with the smaller following closely behind. Some researchers have speculated it could indicate a parent and child relationship, which opens up an even stranger possibility.
Yeah, and that's what I started thinking about whenever you said one was slightly smaller than the other, that it was like a parent and a child, and that's... Yeah. Kind of what it looks like to an extent.
And in the video, which I'll play it here in a minute, to me, the bigger one, it's on a mission. Like, it's going, to me, it's more of a, like a straight line. The smaller one, it almost reminds me of a child because it kind of goes over here. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Yosemite footage also showed what looked like to be a thin web or membrane connecting the nightcrawler's legs to their alleged torsos. And that's something you couldn't see in the original video.
Yeah. And I guess that makes sense because, like I said before, it almost looks like a sheet.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of the same description
that I would
say if I seen something like that.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that new footage.
You're fixing to.
Yeah, you decided to surprise me, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I can't tell you everything. I got to keep some parts of it secret. Sometimes I'm researching stuff and I'm like, you've got to look at this or you've got to watch this. And I'll only give him like a little clip because I don't want to ruin the whole story. But I got to keep some of it
Close
to my chest. That little detail sent theorist into overdrive. Some think it could be like some type of natural camouflage, while others argue that it hints something far stranger, maybe extraterrestrial or interdimensional in origin. Even with the clear Yosemite footage, just like the original Fresno video, there's still no concrete proof that the Nightcrawlers are real. What it did do, though, was reignite public fascination and spark a fresh wave of research and speculation. And because it happened at a national park, the mystery reached a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it really kind of took off. So hikers, campers, nature lovers who might not normally follow a cryptid story suddenly found themselves asking the same questions. What's walking through the night unseen? Okay, so let me show you the video. Okay, that's the one. You can press play.
That is fucking wild.
That is wild, yes. Okay, so that happened. Everybody's like, oh, Fresno Nightcrawlers, we have another video. Then in Billings, Montana, on April 15th, 2020, which was a wild year.
Yeah.
COVID and everything else is a wild year. Another video was captured of the possible creature. There are trees on the left of the screen, a propane tank on the right. You can hear pig noises in the video, and then you see a car pass by. Like, you can see the headlights coming across. It looks like a driveway, maybe. I'm not sure. And then a figure just to the right of the screen appears briefly, and the pig noises stop. And then the figure looks to almost like shuffle or scurry back to where it came from. So this one has volume. So let me turn it up, and I'm going to turn my brightness up because I know you old. Like, if you don't look for it, you'll almost miss it.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Isn't that weird? I want to watch it again because it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, you can kind of see it, and then it just stands there for a minute, and then just right back.
Like, went, oh, shit.
Oh, I've been seen. Well, the next day, the homeowner found a dead deer with injuries to its stomach. The landowner thought it had been attacked by a mountain lion, but they weren't sure. So they didn't know if that was connected to this or if that was just it. A coincidence that they happened to find the deer at that same time. Other sightings have been reported coming as far as Poland that people have seen these. The mystery of the Fresno Nightcrawlers has given a rise to a plethora of theories. So let's talk about them. Alien theory. Some believe they may be extraterrestrial in origin. This idea is supported by the fact that both Fresno and nearby Yosemite have long been hotspots for UFO sightings, hinting at a possible link between the Nightcrawlers and other mysterious entities. What you think? Aliens? How convinced are you that it's an alien?
Honestly, I don't know, because I can't say that I've ever seen another case of aliens where someone described the alien that way.
But there's so many aliens out there. There's so many different types of aliens. Like, you have the gray ones and they have all the different sections of aliens, so it could be from another planet.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not convinced on aliens. Okay.
It's so hard to say because there's nothing else other than the fact that you see the alien.
Yeah.
Or the entity.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else tying them to necessarily anything alien.
Right.
So for me, it's hard to say that.
Yeah. Gotcha. I agree. The next one is the cryptid theory. Another theory that gets tossed around a lot is that Nightcrawlers are actually cryptids. Creatures that might exist, but science hasn't proven them yet. People who believe this say they could be some kind of reclusive animal that's just managed to stay hidden, kind of like the Bigfoot, but a little stranger, looking like a sheep.
Yeah, And I would say that that's probably more what I would lean towards, except it's kind of a recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
So I would think that this is more towards... Remember when we talked about how people sometimes will see things that aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have originated there. But to me, I feel like this is more of a hoaxed thing.
So the next one is hoax. Of course, there are also the more down-to-earth explanations. Some think the Nightcrawler sightings might just be a hoax. Maybe puppets, costumes, or clever CGI. Others argue it could be something much simpler, like a deer standing on its hind legs. I don't see that. With the camera making it look like weird, but I don't commit to the deer theory. Maybe the hoax theory. I'm not saying not a hoax, but I think there's a better explanation than a deer standing on their hind legs.
I do too. That doesn't look anything like a deer on their hind legs.
Maybe a deer on its hind legs with stilts. And again, they said they were small, like 3 to 4 feet. If a deer's standing up on its hind legs, that's a lot taller than 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah, but in the footage that we've seen, there isn't really anything that you can compare the size to.
Yeah, I wonder how they came to the conclusion that
that's
it was 3 or 4
feet. That's
what
I'm trying to say. Like the third video that you showed me, there was clearly a propane tank there,
mm-hmm.
and it was taller than the propane tank.
Yeah.
By nearly, I would say, at least 2 feet.
Yeah.
So you're looking closer to a 5-foot person.
Maybe he's tall. Maybe he's the tall Fresno Nightcrawler.
I don't know. It's just hard to say.
He hit
puberty
early.
With as bad as the footage is, you could easily manipulate the footage to make it look something similar to that. Or if a person was to have a certain costume
mm-hmm.
that had like a white or a lighter colored outer part of it and a darker colored center.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could see how it would show up on camera like that.
And to go back, like we were talking about with the performers, with that body control, you can make, with enough practice, and you can make your body do some weird things.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that do some strange things like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say. But with it, for me, with it being such a recent thing, with the way that the footage... Like you said, there was excuses
yeah.
as to why it was so grainy.
He had to record
that immediately
it with his
video. Puts up flags for me.
Yeah.
Hard to say that it's actual footage.
Park rangers get bored. They get real
bored.
Yeah,
that's very true.
They're like, all right, true. Steve, it's go time.
Yeah.
Steve and Carl, you're going to put these sheets on.
Yeah.
You're going to put these stilts on. Carl, you're 3 feet shorter, so you're going to be the child. I need you to scamper on a little wildly and Steve, you're straight line, all right?
and who knows? I mean, there's no real way to say that, no definitive way to tell what it is.
Yeah, and I didn't really look into it much farther. Could it be a spirit, you know? Could it be some kind of spirit that's how it's manifesting? And that's why I haven't, but I don't know. I'm just throwing out.
I would believe that before aliens.
Yeah. Or a fairy. He's a fairy.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Speaking of, if you know, if you have me on your personal TikTok, I posted a perfect video of Josh and his hobbies.
Yep.
Jackson and I were dying.
Apparently I'm a stick horse champion.
Hobby horse. He's the president. I think he's tired of me.
Nah, never.
But yeah, that's now you know. Now you know the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
That's a weird story.
Very weird. Very strange.
I mean, it's definitely one to think about.
It also, to me, goes back to like what we talked about with Bigfoot. And we have all of these cameras nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Trail cams, Ring doorbells, personal security systems. I mean, there's literally a camera on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't we caught more if there is more of Bigfoot, the Fresno Nightcrawlers, you know, these cryptids? Or have we just not done it yet and it's coming? I don't know. But it, to me, being the skeptic that I am, that is the biggest point for me, is that we do have all these videos and nothing's been caught except for, you know, these few. It's just, to me, if with the surplus of video cameras that we have now, you would think we would have found more than what we have.
I would think so, too. I mean, but that also kind of goes in the way of interdimensional species, too.
Yeah. Are they time travelers? What if they're time travelers stuck and that's just them kind of coming in into the vortex?
Yeah.
You just don't have the whole body yet.
Yeah. And I guess time travel is technically the same as interdimensional. But
somebody's stuck in a black hole. They got wrapped up in their sheet. They're coming to the physical being, and they're just like, I can't see anything out of this.
They're just super stretched out and weird because of the black hole now.
Yeah, yeah. They're too ashamed to go anywhere and be like, oh, look weird, yeah, man.
They just hide in the woods all the time now.
They won't make fun of me. They make friends with Bigfoot, and they're just hanging out now. All the cryptids have their little campfires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smokey the Bear walks up and be like, you only you can prevent forest fires.
Oh, my God. You're showing your age.
I work in the forest industry. It has nothing to do with age.
Smokey the Bear does, bro.
Like I said, I work in the forest industry. I see Smokey the Bear all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like in your interdimensional space.
Mm-hmm.
You just see him there sitting there.
Yep. He's the ringleader. You just think he's helpful. Mm. He is the ringleader of all the cryptids and keeping them covert.
I mean, if I did see a park ranger bear in the wild, I'd probably think that he was some kind of weirdo like that. So
I will have to say, speaking of park rangers, so Shay and Landry on Sisters of the Strange, we shouted them out last week for mm-hmm. helping us with some technical difficulties. They did a really good episode. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. And they went on Reddit and found some park ranger stories.
Mm-hmm.
They were creepy. And I bet you see some creepy stuff out there.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
We should reach out to my uncle.
Bob?
See if he's got any. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was a park ranger for a really long time.
You should. That'd be really
cool. I bet he's got some interesting stories.
You need to reach out to Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, Uncle Bob. Storytelling time. Yep. Storytelling with Bob.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
It would be kind of neat.
Yeah. And that's all I have. That's all we got for Fresno Nightcrawlers. But so one case that I have been wanting to do since we started this, and it just never came to fruition. Yep. I don't want to say what it is, but every time we would go to do it, something would happen because we want to physically go to the site that I want to cover. And it was either raining or bad weather or it'd be too late, and where it's at, you kind of have to have clearance to go. I found a contact on Facebook of like a historian, and I sent them an email, and I'm just waiting for a response back to get more information on the story
mm-hmm.
so we can start researching it and then have that hopefully come together within the next couple months.
That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. That one's going to be good. So that may be our first official ghost hunt.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could get somebody to actually give us permission to be out there at night.
Well, I did see, so where it happened, what happened, I'm trying to say it carefully without giving anything away. The descendants of the family that the event happened to, they actually pay caretakers to take care of it. So I don't know, would that be who we talk to? And that's part of reaching out to the historian to see if they know, and that way we can get permission to go mm-hmm. out there. And just to have a historian to give us more information.
I would assume if that family still owns that property, then that would be who we would need to ask.
Yeah.
I was under the assumption that it was like a
state monument.
Yeah.
No.
It's not.
Nope.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, to be continued.
To be continued. Yeah, they set up like a whole fund so that it would continue to be cared for, like landscaping and stuff like that. They created a whole fund for that. And so, like I said, I'm hoping the historian that I talked to will give me more information.
Well, that's kind of cool. Maybe we could like tag their fund in our in our deal. And
yeah.
That could be kind of our
donations and stuff.
Contribution to
that'd be really cool. That's a good idea. Yeah. So to be continued, I'm really excited about it. It, like I said, this was the one story that my mom wanted me to cover it. Brother Garrett wanted us to do it. It's literally right down the road from us. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be so cool to give you the history side of it. It's supposedly haunted. So then after we go through the history and the events, which is like a true crime, mm-hmm. then go out and do the haunting part of it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. And then maybe we could also get a couple of different angles of recording
mm-hmm.
and actually invite the entire crew out.
Yeah. Yep. So, to be continued. Really excited. Can't wait to share it with you guys and see what happens. So, that's all I've got. That's it.
Well, that was a good story.
Yeah. There you go. So, I guess with that being said, we'll see you soon, Avery, and bring you your little gift basket. I hope you like it.
Yep.
We'll see Tori next week, and I'll give her a true crime story, New York and New Jersey. And I think it's our first official serial killer that we're covering. So that's kind of cool. And I'm kind of doing it from a different perspective. So, you know, when we cover these, we kind of do the perspective of not the murderer necessarily, but I don't know. I'm just doing it differently. I'm doing it from the perspective of the detective that cracked the case. So it's a little bit different. I think it'll be kind of cool.
Okay, that'd be an interesting way to tell the story.
Yep. So it may be a little confusing because it kind of jumps around. Like the murders happened in like 1960 to 1975. And then in the early 2000s, he inherits these cold cases.
Mm-hmm.
And he works tirelessly trying to figure out who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually worked with the Iceman of New York. That's not the one I'm covering, but he has to do with it. And then I might do one on the Iceman because I only touch on him briefly, but his is kind of an interesting story too. So I'm coming up with new ideas. Paul sent me, shout out Paul Jeffries. He sent me some suggestions. So I've got a list from him now. And then Tyler gave me a suggestion. So we're starting to get suggestions. And viewers and listeners, please send us your suggestions. Send us any spooky stories that you have. Our email is theguiltyandtheghostlypodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. You can listen to us. You're already listening to us if you're hearing this, but
mm-hmm.
we're on Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, I know I'm missing some, but my brain's not clicking, so all of them. You can find us on all of them.
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. Until next week, stay spooky.
Keep it on two legs.
What the hell? Bye, guys.
Bye.